ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
The number of people walking and biking for exercise is growing every year. Not only is it good for our health, but it's an eco-friendly way of getting around. But not all regions of the country are as safe to take that walk or that bike ride as you might hope. Today, we talked to a UW-Milwaukee researcher who has led a national study of bike and pedestrian safety in America's large cities. And the results are surprising. Bob Schneider is Associate Professor of Urban Planning in UWM's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, and he's our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Welcome, Bob. Good to have you back with us.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Tom.
And I say back because about a year ago we had you on talking about just that general national movement to begin using our feet more, and we, I think, had a great discussion about how good it is for us and for the city to be out of our cars and doing things differently. But now this new national study that you have led provides some more empirical evidence of just how good it is and sometimes how unsafe it is to be out there.
Yeah, and I'll start with one thing that I think is really important for people to know in terms of a national trend. The number of pedestrian fatalities that have been reported on an annual basis has increased by more than 30% since 2009. We are now close to 6,000 fatalities per year, which is a number that is as high as it was in 1993. So we haven't seen this level of pedestrian fatalities in the United States for more than two decades. And the trend is going in the wrong direction. So what can we do about that? And that was part of what inspired our study to look at which regions across the country are doing better than others in terms of safety per trip walked, per mile walked, per time walked, as well as those same measures for bicycling. So we found some differences across the country. And this is one thing that's interesting about the study. The safest places for walking and biking, when you control for the number of people who are out walking and biking and you say per trip or per distance traveled, what is the rate of fatalities in a particular region? Places like Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Minneapolis, New York, Portland, San Francisco, and Seattle are among the safest.
And those are the biggest.
And those are the biggest.
I mean, so, that's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
Exactly. That's where the surprise comes. They do have absolute numbers of fatalities that are among the highest. But once you see how many people are actually walking in a place like New York City or Chicago, controlling for that per trip that people take or per distance traveled, the people are a lot safer when they're walking in those communities. And so that's a finding that's called safety in numbers. And we see this in a number of studies. This one just reconfirms that concept. There are a number of hypotheses behind why safety in numbers occurs. It may be that drivers are out on the roadways in these communities where there's lots of people walking or lots of people bicycling, are just more aware and know that they should drive more safely and slowly around pedestrians and bicyclists. There's another theory that says these communities that are leaders for safety have made physical improvements to the roadways, adding bike lanes and providing safer crossings, as well as doing other enforcement and education type safety treatments. So those things have made it safer, and therefore more people have decided to walk and bike.
So which theory is right?
I think both of them are. And in fact, there's some evidence on both sides that we cite in our paper. Certainly, the awareness side has been studied by some psychologists and transportation safety psychologist folks, And there seems to be some evidence there. And then from the practical investment side, what you can do as a community to make it safer, a safer roadway environment for walking and biking, we have evidence that these are, for example, Minneapolis, Seattle, San Francisco, Chicago, those cities are recognized as walk-friendly communities. And so there's a program that recognizes communities for making specific types of improvements for walking. And so the evidence would suggest that by making those improvements, they're also increasing the overall levels of walking and therefore making it safer.
Bob, what are some of the changes that you see in a city like Chicago or Minneapolis? What are those new methods of making it safer for you or me to be out on foot?
Yeah, there's a variety of them, and I'll focus in on the engineering type treatments, which is roadway design. It's often linked to different behaviors that drivers and pedestrians and bicyclists might have. So if you design your streets in a certain way, you would encourage safer behaviors. But there's certain principles that a lot of communities are trying to follow. This idea called complete streets is something that more than 500 communities across the country have adopted as policy. Essentially, they're designing their streets not just for automobile throughput, which is what mainly the transportation profession did for 50 years or so after
World
War II.
They built roads for cars,
exactly.
Right? Cars and trucks and buses.
Yeah. So the idea is to say, well, when we design a road, repave it, reconstruct it, or build it for the first time, we want to have accommodations for bicyclists, safe crossings for pedestrians, potential for transit use if it's along a transit corridor, in addition to motor vehicle movement, so that we're thinking of all types of users of that public space. And so through complete streets design, I think many of these communities have realized safety benefits for pedestrians and bicyclists. Complete streets design leads to some of the contributing factors to lower risk, which would be narrower roadways. So when you narrow the travel lanes or have fewer of them, there's less incentive for drivers to speed along corridors, or it just sends the message to drivers, you need to be going more slowly and looking out for pedestrians and bicyclists.
If nothing else, it looks different, and
exactly.
that can throw a motorist off and give them pause before they push that accelerator mm-hmm. down farther.
Yeah.
What are the less safe cities? I won't say the ones that you're necessarily going to get run over in, but as you took a look at the study, if some of these big cities did real well, who didn't score in the I want to walk in that city category?
Yeah, there are some big cities in that category as well, but they tend to be in the same part of the country. Houston, Jacksonville, Miami, Orlando, San Antonio, and Tampa were seen as less safe than the typical average. And so
I've
the southern parts of the country.
Bob, I've been in most of those cities, and thinking of Houston and Orlando and Tampa, I don't think I'd want to be walking across some of those enormous streets, those boulevards that seem like a football field wide.
Exactly. And so when you have multi-lane boulevards cutting through parts of the city where there are a number of people who are walking and biking just because there's activities nearby. In some cases, people who are unable to own a car, maybe living in certain neighborhoods that are dissected by these really wide boulevards, that leads to a high risk. And we see that in the studies that look at corridor and intersection level safety. These are Sunbelt cities, and so many of them have grown quite significantly since World War II. And so their growth occurred during the time when our roadway design was focused on moving automobiles and our urban design was spreading out and having people travel much further distances across the region. So a number of researchers are suggesting that the sprawling nature leads towards less safety for pedestrians and bicyclists.
And because they are Sunbelt cities, you have some older folks who move to those cities. And guess what? You don't walk quite as fast when you're 70 or 80 years old.
And that's a great point that brings me back to the research and our specific findings. We looked at a number of socioeconomic characteristics and some very basic built environment characteristics in the regions across the country to try to explain why are there higher rates of fatalities in some regions versus others. And one of the significant factors for pedestrian fatalities was the percentage of the regional population that was over age 64. So our seniors, when they're higher senior populations, they may have a harder time crossing the street. They are also more vulnerable to being killed if they are struck by a vehicle. So that was one of them. Another socioeconomic characteristic that we found to be significant was people who were born in other countries. If there's a higher proportion of people who are born elsewhere, we did see a higher pedestrian and bicyclist fatality risk.
What do you think's behind that?
So there are a couple of potential reasons. It's hard to say exactly why, given this scale of data, but it may be that people who are new to the country are adjusting to the traffic culture a little bit differently. So they may not expect drivers to be going as fast as they are and be used to the major streets that we have in some of the regions across the country. The other reason could be from the opposite direction of causality, which is that the people who are the regions that have higher populations of newcomers to the country, those are places that had poorer designs to begin with. And since we don't have other variables to capture the effect of the design of those wide boulevards and high-speed streets, that this newcomer to America variable may be accounted for there. But it underscores the idea that wherever we have people who are coming to the country for the first time, we need to make those environments really safe, especially for walking and biking.
So how about Milwaukee? You gave us the good, the bad. Where's Milwaukee?
Yeah, we're somewhere in the middle of the pack. We're making a lot of progress here in terms of our pedestrian and bicycle improvements, and we talked a little bit about this last time.
Yeah, we got bike lanes marked down a lot of streets now. Never had that 10 years ago.
Exactly. So we have more than 100 miles of bike lanes now, and the city is currently embarking on a pedestrian master plan to help improve the safety of people walking around the city, a first ever plan for the city of Milwaukee. So the city is taking action. In fact, as I mentioned, it's looking at adopting a complete streets policy soon to make that codified in how we develop our streets. But in terms of the research nationally and comparing to the other cities, we're somewhere in the middle. And statistically, we couldn't say whether we're higher or lower than the general pack of metropolitan regions.
Mm. Is there any evidence that the streetcar that's coming will make things better, safer?
So in an indirect way, you can say that by having a streetcar and encouraging development in our downtown area, we'll probably see more people out walking and a more, therefore, more awareness of people on foot and likely a lower risk of pedestrian fatalities because of this higher number of pedestrians. Now,
so there's that strength in numbers theory that you see in New York or
Chicago.
One
part of it. And the other part of it is because we're redesigning our roadways, as everybody who's been around downtown sees. That
we were both late getting to today's taping because of the streetcar construction.
Exactly. So by redesigning the roadways, in some cases, there are fewer automobile lanes that can just be driven at really high rates of speed. We now have a streetcar lane that is shared with automobiles, which creates more friction in the environment. We have additional bike lanes that are getting added along with the streetcar tracks. And so by changing the roadways and making them more complete, per se, we then are probably going to make it safer on average.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Bob Schneider. Bob is an associate professor of urban planning at UWM and just finished work on leading a national study of pedestrian safety, looking at where it's best to set out a foot and not know that your life is I guess your life is always in the hands of that bigger car, right?
It's always good to remember you as a pedestrian yourself that there are other vehicles out there and you are in some risk. Now, that brings me to another point, which is really important for drivers to be aware that they are sharing public space with their neighbors who are on foot. And in driving vehicles that have the potential to kill somebody, you need to be very careful and drive with an expectation to see pedestrians at crosswalks and in the street.
I suspect certainly for folks like me who grew up in a car-centric world, that it's easy to assume, well, the road is there for cars and I'm in a car and so I got the right of way. It really takes an adjustment upstairs mentally for us to come put our arms around this complete street concept that you talked about.
We do have to remember fundamentally that the space between each building is public space. And we decide as a community and as a culture how we use it. Yes, we have traffic enforcement and a number of rules about that. But to some extent, the behavior that drivers exhibit, that pedestrians exhibit, that bicyclists exhibit is socially defined. We follow what we see other people do. You know, after we get our driver's education and our license, you're learning from other people. And if we have a culture that is going to accept really high rates of speed on our roadways, 10 and 15 miles an hour above the speed limit, that's putting pedestrians who may try to cross the street at a much higher risk. In some cases, especially for seniors who want to cross the street, it may be stopping them from going to the grocery store or going to the library when they would really like to because they feel that barrier.
And yet the street belongs as much to them as the person sitting in the car. When I was teaching my kids how to drive, I remember telling them, just imagine that little lady that's trying to get across, that's your grandma.
That's right.
And if you begin to humanize the person who you otherwise might think is in the way of your car mm-hmm. and slowing you down, it may help you change behavior a lot faster.
For sure.
So, Bob, I want to give you a quiz. So I'm going to name off three methods that I think are designed to improve safety on the road and want you to tell me how effective they really are. First of all, the relatively new countdowns that you see at the traffic intersections where you not only have the stop or walk or don't walk flashing symbol, but now a lot of them have the countdowns, you know, from 30 or 15 down. Does that make a big difference?
So, yes, those have been commonplace since about the early 2000s, so a little bit more than a decade. And the studies are showing that it's safer for pedestrians because they know the amount of time to complete their crossing. The light doesn't just turn yellow and you see the flashing hand stop and then you know you're in the roadway and need to run away.
Yikes!
You have some information about how you can get across the street, how much time is left. Drivers and bicyclists also see those timers. And so there were some questions initially. Are drivers going to use them to speed up towards the intersection, or bicyclists use it in some way that will distract them from their attention at the intersection? There's a little bit of evidence that suggests there might be some of that going on, but the broad findings of the research is that these are safer, especially for pedestrians, but also safer for drivers and bicyclists at the intersections as well.
Well, in an age where more and more cities are having the cameras at the intersections to see whether or not you went through or not, I love the idea of having the countdown because I'm less likely to speed up if I'm guessing that
right.
it's going
right.
to go to yellow.
It gives you more information, and that's the theory behind why it's making the intersection safer.
Good, good. Well, good answer because I love those. Second part of my quiz, what about the signs that some places, universities, for example, put signs right in the middle of the road that say, state law says you must yield to pedestrians? Some people don't like them because you have to slow down and some streets are narrower. What's your take on it? Do those make a difference? Are people following those?
So yes, the studies that were initially done on them showed higher yielding compliance when an in-street pedestrian crossing sign was in place. These are approved in the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, and they have some challenges to them in terms of maintenance. And so it's good to know that, you know, while they're effective when they're out in the streets, there are certain types that you can purchase as a public agency looking to improve safety on your streets that will last longer. There's a certain type of hinge that if it's hit, it'll flop down and bounce back rather than shear off the sign. And so looking for ways to make it cost effective to provide these safety treatments is really important. I'll add to that type of sign that you just mentioned, there's a new type of use of it that's being done. Michigan DOT experimented with this, putting them on the center line of the roadway, but also at each of the curbs at the end of the crosswalk so that you have three signs basically, one on each side of the road and one in the middle, creating a gateway effect at the crosswalk. And so this is called a gateway treatment, and it's been shown to really increase driver yielding very significantly, even on roadways that have more than one lane in each direction, which are some of the most challenging types of roads for us to improve pedestrian safety on.
And there's also a responsibility on the part of the pedestrian to make sure that they're checking to see that that car or that bus or that truck actually is going to obey the sign. Because just because it says you must yield doesn't mean that that they're going to.
Yeah, and my suggestion for people there is it's important to indicate that you want to cross the street as a pedestrian, and if you can wave your hand or point across the crosswalk to indicate that, rather than you're just standing at the side of the road waiting for the bus or waiting for a ride, it's adding a level of assertiveness to communicate to the drivers, I mean to cross here, and drivers, you are legally responsible to yield to the pedestrian if they step into the crosswalk.
I'm laughing because my wife and I are big walkers. We go out every night. And in our community, they do have the signs in the crosswalks, but I don't trust them. I don't trust – well, actually, I trust the sign. I don't trust the people in the car to obey it. So I have gotten down the glare to a T. I mean, I can look, you know, and target right in on the eyes of that driver. And it's amazing how that makes a huge difference because they know that you're looking. And so it's an extra warning to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Third question, speed bumps. You know, there, you see the speed hump or the speed bump on some streets. Milwaukee has some neighborhoods where they use it very liberally because of drag racing and issues. But some of the parks are now putting speed bumps in also. Pretty annoying as a motorist.
Speed bumps are often thought of as the go-to safety treatment for a neighborhood. I would like to encourage residents around the city and around other communities to think even more broadly than just say, oh, our neighborhood needs speed humps. That's what we need to do for traffic safety. I think there's other types of ways beyond the speed hump that can help slow speeds, things like extending the curbs. Curb bump outs is another way to phrase that, where there are pedestrian crossings. If you narrow the roadway and give drivers the message that this is a place to expect pedestrians, and the visual narrowing of the street serves the same purpose of creating a slower speed environment as does a speed hump without the jarring effect on your car. Or if, you know, if somebody has disabilities or a bad back, that speed hump can really be a problem for them. And so it's important to think about a variety of treatments that could be used in that sort of situation.
And it's not just cars. It's bikes, too.
I mean,
you know, there are some streets where it literally goes all the way to the edge. And if you're not paying attention, it's one thing to get a little jiggle in your axle. But if you're on a bike.
So traffic circles at intersections are another type of neighborhood traffic calming treatment that can be done.
You mean the roundabouts?
Roundabouts are one thing that are used often in more rural areas on the state highway system. They facilitate a higher speed around intersections. And a neighborhood traffic circle is something where you have to really slow down when you approach the intersection. And then you do the same movement around it, but the design is really intended for very slow speeds in a neighborhood.
We've got a couple of those around UWM on Hartford Avenue. I know for sure. You really do have to slow down, and it makes you think twice.
Yeah. If I could just end with one thought that brings this back to the beginning. So in Milwaukee this year, we've seen an increase in pedestrian fatalities by what's projected to be doubling of last year's total of pedestrian deaths. And that's alarming. It's also a statewide trend. We're up 33% at the state level. And so all these types of treatments that we're talking about and the changes to how we think about our own driving as well as being pedestrians and bicyclists are critical to getting this increase in fatalities to go back in the right direction, which is towards zero deaths. And so that's what I'd like to see.
It's a good pitch. And it means responsibility on both the part of the motorist as well as the part of the pedestrian.
Yeah.
Just a minute left, Bob. Future research, where do you see yourself going? What questions haven't we answered yet?
There's many out there. I guess in terms of the data that we looked at for this particular study, we're looking at metropolitan regions. And so this would include Milwaukee as well as its suburbs, all of Chicagoland. All these areas are grouped together. So if we can get better data to look at individual neighborhoods or smaller parts of a region and to really understand the risks and safe treatments that are the effectiveness of the safety treatments in any particular location, that'll give us even better information about how to take action towards creating better safety for pedestrians and bicyclists.
And so for listeners, that means talk to your alderman, talk to your mayor about working with people like Bob and his colleagues to come in and do some studies and see whether or not their roads could be improved for pedestrian safety.
Yeah.
Bob, thanks so much. Always a pleasure having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Bob Schneider, Associate Professor of Urban Planning at UWM's School of Architecture, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We will see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.